Gerlinda, you've been working for a number of years on a project that deals with preterm births and healthy outcomes. Could you tell me, first of all, a little bit about what this whole team study is about?
So this team is an interdisciplinary team which comprises clinician scientists and epidemiologists and basic scientists like myself and many others. It brings to the table so many different expertises from various areas. The topics that we're discussing are all concerned with preterm birth and healthy mothers having healthy babies. And I got into this project because I was studying stress. And actually, about 7 years ago, David Olson from the University of Alberta came down to Lethbridge and was looking for someone to work with him on trying to develop a new animal model for preterm birth. And so we got into business, and since then we've been working on this animal model, and we've recently, after all these years of hard work, actually my team, the members of my lab, are really, really very committed to this project. And now it's the time that we've put the pieces of the puzzle together slowly and see where we're heading with our model, and we have some really amazing findings.
Well, what is this new animal model?
So, because I was interested in the effects of stress on health before we started this research, we have been investigating the effects of stress on rat mothers in a rat model. That's what we're using. And we see that stressed mothers do give birth, but the gestational duration seems to be shortened. And it seems to be shortened even more when we're going down further generations. So when a stressed mother has her offspring, a rat mother, and she's giving birth, and her offspring, her female offspring, gives birth again, the gestation in each of these generations will get shorter if they again perceive some kind of stress in their environment during pregnancy.
So it sounds like they become more and more sensitive. Is that the case?
We could call this phenomenon perinatal programming or imprinting of the physiological system that mediates the effects of stress, so that the response to stress in the environment is modified if someone is pre-exposed to stress in the womb or in previous generations. And this will change the function of the stress response and how severe the stress response is occurring when there's an adverse event happening, like a famine or some psychological stress because there's an exam or there's a fight with a neighbor or something like that. The response might be different in someone who had experienced prenatal or transgenerational stress as compared to someone who has not experienced this kind of adverse event before.
Was this a surprise to you?
Well, there's very little research on the transgenerational effects of experience across many generations. Like, we're looking into 5 generations in our model. We know a little bit from research, for example, in humans, where there was a famine, for example, in the Netherlands in 1944-45. And there's a research direction investigating the effects of the offspring of the babies who were born to mothers who experienced the famine during pregnancy. And the babies have grown older now, and we can investigate what kind of diseases they are at higher risk based on this early experience. And now we are in the stage that we can actually even see the grandchildren, how they are developing and growing older, and investigate their risk to certain conditions such as cardiovascular disease, the risk of stroke or heart attack, or diabetes, or cognitive decline during aging, and those kinds of functions. So in humans, they have a longer lifespan, and of course, it's very difficult to investigate their health status and health risk across so many generations in a single lifespan of a researcher. And so our animal model comes in really handy in mimicking some of these effects, and we can look into the disease risk across many generations based on some very moderate or mild stressful experiences that occurred early on during pregnancy.
This is astounding. How are you going to take what you've learned so far and apply it further?
We are now recognizing that there are so many different functions and behavior and diseases and disease risk factors being affected by the phenomenon of prenatal stress, that we're just slowly starting to grasp the whole range of effects that one could expect based on early experience. And this is a really interesting topic because we're very concerned as humans to learn about this. And one of the important observations is that we usually have really hard time pinpointing risk factors within a single lifespan. For example, someone suddenly starts showing signs of Parkinson's disease, and it's very difficult to tell a single event in life what could have triggered this or what could have contributed to this event, or a stroke or a cardiovascular condition such as a heart attack. How are we programmed to have a higher risk of these diseases? And we realize now that it's not only the experience within a single lifespan, like having a very stressful occupation or having malnutrition, being exposed to hunger or some other environmental factors that we cannot control. Now we realize it's beyond the single lifespan events. It's not only what our mothers ate, but it's what our grandmothers and great-grandmothers ate, how we are responding to stress in our lifespan, in our life.
So when you say that this becomes programmed and it's transgenerational, does that mean that it goes right into the DNA?
It's a really interesting question. And we're in collaboration with Igor and Olga Kovalchuk right here at the University of Lethbridge. We're actually investigating the mechanisms behind this transgenerational programming of disease. And it seems that mostly we are talking about a non-genomic imprinting effect. That means there's not a gene effect directly, but it's something beyond the genes. We call that epigenetic. And it is something, some factors, some small molecules that determine which genes are being switched on and which genes are being switched off. And so we can have disease predisposing genes that are linked to a health risk, maybe multiple sclerosis or a stroke or cardiovascular complications. But we can switch the gene on or off that is linked to this risk. And this is what we call epigenetic modulation of gene expression. So this is a highly environmentally regulated response. And the environment, for example, stress or nutrition and lifestyle factors, are modulating which genes are being expressed and which ones are not.
How could the medical community or others associated with looking at trying to prevent disease or predict disease in individuals, how could you take the information now that you've discovered and put it into terms that we could even use?
This is a really exciting point, and we're very early on in our research, but I think potentially if we know the risk factors that are linked to disease later in life, we could find predictive factors. So what we're doing right now, for example, we're collecting blood samples or we're collecting placenta samples at birth, and we can take those and analyze them. This is tissue that is not going to be used for anything when a baby is being born, so we could easily collect placenta samples. And then we can go and investigate if we find any predictive factors that are linked to disease later on in life. Once we know about predictors of diseases, we can try to find interventions. And I could imagine a number of different avenues how to do this, but I guess left up to some further development to do this in a human. In rats, again, there would be a huge potential to explore some of these interventions that could be used later on to prevent diseases.
I can see why you're so excited about wrapping up this study and why you've called it a coming out. What else have you learned?
Well, it's really interesting to put the pieces together of different levels of functions, behavior, hormones, brain plasticity, metabolic functions in the body, and to put all these different functions together and to realize that the brain is always the master gland. The brain is the structure that is regulating so much of it, and we have to imagine that the stress that we usually perceive is, in our Western society, mainly psychological. So it's the brain that triggers the stress response and can modify so many different functions of the body in at different levels. In addition to this, it modifies, through these experiences, it modifies how our offspring, how our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren are prepared to live in this environment. This is actually an adaptive response. It doesn't have to be something that is detrimental to our health. Really, it's the experience of the mother that prepares the baby what kind of environment to expect after birth and how to be prepared for survival and for growth and development. And I find this amazing how we can modify these functions through so many generations.
What's next for you? Can you take this any further?
The findings that we had were definitely very pumped to take it a step further. It's only a springboard for further studies. We're really interested in taking this many steps further in finding out more about potential mechanisms that mediate transgenerational programming of disease and how we can interfere. Definitely the intervention and prediction strategies have a high priority for us in the future.
How does this fit into what the rest of the team has been working on?
So, for example, the cohort that our team director, Dr. Suzanne Tuff in Calgary, is studying on, she is using a baby cohort that she's following up with her team to find out about how maternal lifestyle and maternal environment would affect development and health of the babies. And this is a really very exciting study, and it involves so many different levels of investigation that we're trying to bring our animal model closer to what she is doing so that we can compare the humans and our animal models in order to use the animal model as a platform to modify or to manipulate certain molecular factors that are determining how to switch on and off the genes. So once we know about this, we can maybe compare some of these findings with the processes and the mechanisms of regulation in the human body and learn more about how we humans function and how we determine health of our children and develop some predictive factors or biomarkers of disease. This is, of course, a very long way for research, but I guess that it would be an ultimate goal for us if we had the opportunity to continue this research for a few more years.
It's all very exciting. Thank you very much, Gerlinde.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me to this interview.